here tonight, just obey the Lord however he feels like. Just take his liberty in the Lord tonight. Praise God. Have at it.
Well, I wish tonight would have been one of those nights that he strongly felt something. Would have gladly given way for him to preach tonight, but been praying, felt like the Lord laid something on my heart. I hope you overlook me tonight. I feel like I'm a little bit one arm. My wife didn't get to come. Jackson's homesick, and just pray for him. He's running a fever today, and I always look back at her while I'm preaching and try to get a gauge of how I'm doing, and if something's wrong or something's on my face or something. So I'm gonna look at you tonight, Dad. You ain't near as pretty. Amen. All right. Go ahead and be turning to Joshua chapter 5. I want to say I appreciate my Uncle Michael, Aunt Judy coming tonight. And I told him, I said, don't expect much and you won't be disappointed. So that's where we're going to set low expectations. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. I want to say I do appreciate the opportunity. Love preaching, love everything about it, and I always love to get an opportunity to do it, and I appreciate it, and I might not be very good at it, but I love it. Verse number 10 of Joshua chapter 5, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to preach just for a few minutes on moving past the manna. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask the Lord to anoint us? Father, oh God, I come before you tonight, Lord, needing your anointing, Lord, more than anything else in the world, God. We need you to come by in this service. Oh, Lord, take these words, Lord, straight to their hearts, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost speak through me, Lord. God, we need you in this service. Let your Spirit come and dwell among us. Oh, God, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. To me, one of the most wonderful things about the Bible, and I think the most wonderful thing about the Bible, is the introduction to God. That's what the Bible is. It's our introduction to God. That's why it's so important for us that we study the Bible, and it's so important for us that we immerse ourselves in the Bible. It's so important that we learn it, and that's what we've been trying to do on Sunday mornings. That's why it seemed like sometimes that I went so slow that I felt like I was killing everybody, but that's why we're going chapter by chapter, sometimes verse by verse, trying to get as much knowledge as we can out of the Bible, because this is what we have from God. I believe in a personal revelation. I believe that the Lord speaks to the hearts of men and women. I believe that the Lord can speak to an audible voice, Brother Jeff. I believe that can happen, but if it's not happening in your life, this is the Word of God for you. You need to read as much as you possibly can and study as hard as you possibly can. But one of the problems that plagues this generation is that people no longer want to know God like they once did. They no longer have that hunger and that desire to seek after God. That hunger for more of God. That daily communion with God. People don't miss it. They don't look for it. It's not something that they're searching after. They treat God like he's a grandfather that they go to when there's trouble. And they say, I'm in trouble. I need you to bail me out. I'm in a mess here, and I need you to help me where I'm at. But aside from that, they want nothing else to do with God. Aside from those times of trouble, they don't want nothing else to do with God. They don't want a close relationship with him. They want him to exist and be there when they need him. But aside from that, they don't want that daily talk with God. Amen. It's not just a sin thing. It's not just that God is, that we need God to guide us every day to keep us from sinning, but I want a daily communion with God. I want to hear the voice of the Lord every day. I want to talk to God. Like Moses, the Bible said Moses talked to God like a man talks to his friend. That was the relationship that they had. That was the closeness that they had. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Every day he was with God, talking with God. They had a relationship with God. He had a relationship. He walked with him. He talked with him. He knew him. Paul wanted to know God. He said, oh, that I might know him. Moses wanted to know God. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. There is a desire that we ought to have to know God. So as we begin to read the Bible, we discover things about God. I was reading about the names of God recently. Elohim, the God, the Creator, mighty and strong. He used that name when he was talking to Abraham, making the covenant with Abraham. It was with the Elohim that he made the covenant. El Shaddai, that's the God of Jacob. That was the God Almighty that Jacob used when he was talking to his family about Egypt. When he's talking to his family, when he was in Egypt, he called him El Shaddai, God Almighty. Jehovah, that's the proper name of God. That's the only proper name given to God. This is the name that God spoke himself to Moses out of the burning bush. Jehovah, that's my name, Jehovah. Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord who heals. That was given to the Israelites. Jehovah Nissi, that means the Lord our banner. That was given to the Israelites after they defeated the Amalekites. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That was given to them in the temple. When the Lord was there, he became Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, that was given to Gideon in the middle of a troubling time, in the middle of a hard time. The Lord came to him as Jehovah Shalom, peace in the trouble, peace in the time of stress. And now we look at the final name that I want to give to you tonight, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, God is a provider. From the very beginning, he's been providing for man. He didn't make earth for himself. He didn't set the day and the night for himself. He didn't set the Garden of Eden for himself. He set it for man. It was all for man. He was providing all the fish, all the animals, all the mammals, all the trees. It was all a provision of God. The Bible tells us that he looked down and he saw that Adam was alone. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he provided him a woman. Women, you are a gift from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it, look in the Bible. You are a gift from God. I always like the story Brother Benny told it. Brother Adam was naming the animals, and he named off the bee and the bear, and he turned around and he saw Eve, and he said, whoa, man. And that's how that women got their name. But God was providing. God was providing for men. One of the biggest lies that the devil likes to tell people is that God will not provide for them. One of the biggest lies that people start to believe is that God does not care about them. One of the worst messes that you can get yourself into is a mess where you think that God is not going to provide an answer for your problem. Amen. Amen. The first time we see Jehovah Jireh mentioned in the Bible, the first time we see the word, or not actually the word Jehovah Jireh, but the first time it was used was when Abraham was taking Isaac up the mountain. Abraham's walking up the mountain and Isaac's walking along beside him. They're going to the place of sacrifice where Isaac will be slain and burned on the altar. That was the plan that Abraham thought was going to happen. And Abraham is walking up the mountain and Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. He is Jehovah Jireh. Now, I don't know exactly what Abraham's mindset was when he was walking up the mountain and he said he's Jehovah Jireh, but I know what it was when he was going down the mountain. He was probably shouting at the top of his lungs, the Lord hath provided. Amen. Oh, I wasn't so sure a little while ago, but now I'm convinced the Lord hath provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider of my need. Hallelujah. Woo!
Oh, hallelujah. It's in the nature of God. It's his very nature. Just as much as it is for him to be righteous, just as much as it is for him to be truthful, just as much as it is for him to be holy, it's in his nature to be a provider. Hallelujah. It comes natural to him to provide for those that are in need. I don't know about you, but there's been some times here lately where I've been in need. There have been some times here lately where I said, Lord, I need you to be Jehovah Jireh in my life. Woo! And he was. Hallelujah. Hey, man, he didn't leave me to struggle. He's never left me to walk alone, but he's always been my provider. Oh, hallelujah. He's always been the one that gave me just what I need, just when I needed it. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the most famous examples of God's provision was in the wilderness. Amen. The children of Israel had taken what they could carry. It was a very quick job packing to leave Egypt. They took what they needed. They were probably not able to carry very many provisions. They were certainly not able to carry as much as they needed to make it from Egypt to the promised land across a barren desert. Amen. Some of them may have looked at the journey ahead. Some of them may have looked and said, Lord, how are we going to make it? Oh, Moses, we're in a lot of trouble. They were already grumbling and griping at Moses at the Red Sea. They were saying, Moses, do you really know what you're doing? Moses, are you sure about this? Amen. And they're beginning to wonder, how are we going to make it? But God had already provided a dry path through the Red Sea. Amen. God had already provided a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so God was already providing, and he wasn't about to stop now. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us they woke up in the morning. They walked outside, Brother Ashley. All over the ground was manna. All over the ground was manna. The Bible said it was like the frost on the ground. It covered the ground. It was a thin kind of wafer. They would gather this manna in baskets, enough for the day, enough for one day, except for the day before the Sabbath. If you gathered more than enough for one day on any day but the day before the Sabbath, overnight it would rot and it would get worms in it and be horrible. And so all every day they went out and they took their baskets and they gathered that manna. They gathered it and they put it in the basket, enough for the day. It was plentiful as long as they just got enough for the one day. The Bible tells us that these wafers, or this manna, tasted like wafers made with honey. It was white, and sometimes they would grind it up and make bread out of it. I don't know what it was, but it must have been something pretty special. Because it fed as many, some people say over 2 million people, I don't know, maybe over 3 million people. For 40 solid years, it fed them in the wilderness. For 40 solid years. I think it was you the other day that was preaching. You said it would took 4,500 boxcar loads of food to feed that many people. It would have took 4,500 tons, of manna to feed that many people. It provided all the nutrition they needed. Amen. It provided everything that they could possibly need. They didn't have to consult their food chart to see if they was getting enough grains or enough meat or whatever was going on in there. They didn't have to consult nothing because the manna met all the needs. He met everything. All they had was manna, and it was all they needed. It's a wonderful miracle, and it's a testament to the provision of God. It's a true testament to God's provision. We can read this and see that God is a God of the details. He's a God that knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. If we're not careful, a lot of times we get the idea that God sits back and we know that he stands outside of time. And we know that he stands in eternity and he looks into time. He knows the future and the present and the past. There's nothing that's hid from God. And if we're not careful sometimes, we'll get the idea that God is not concerned with the details of our lives. We'll get the idea that God does not care. He sees the big picture, but he doesn't care about us. But that is a lie of the devil. If you read the Bible, you'll quickly see the hairs on your head are numbered. He knows everything about you. And not only does he know, but he cares. Hallelujah. Not only is he knowledgeable, but he cares about you. He looks down at what you're going through. He looks down at your situation and he says, I see what they're in and I'm going to help them through it. I'm not sitting back unconcerned. I'm not sitting back unmoved, but I see and I know. Woo, hallelujah. He is a God of the moment. He is a God in the moment. Hallelujah. I was reading that the other day where it said, a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day to him. What does that mean? I thought I can understand that 1,000 years would be a day to him because he stands back and it's no big deal to him. He stands back and time passes and eons go by and it affects him not at all. It's like a day's passed. Then I looked at that and thought, what does it mean that a day is as 1,000 years? What does that mean that a day is at 1,000 years? It means that he is so involved with what's going on in our lives. There is nothing that sneaks by him. He is so involved in every little bit, every moment, every second, every hour, every minute. God is involved. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I read in your hearing tonight, there came a day that the manna stopped. There came a day, Brother Clay, that the manna stopped. And I can just imagine maybe somebody got up early like they always had, got their basket, Brother Kevin, and they walked out of their tent, walked out and maybe in their sleep, didn't even realize for a minute. Took a few steps across the ground before they realized, wait a second, something's different. There's no manna here. Something is not right. They're carrying their baskets as usual when all of a sudden they notice there's no more manna. What a shock it would have been for them to see the morning that had dawned without manna. How startling must it have been for them, Brother Rob, for them to walk out and as they'd always seen the frost of the manna, but now there was just nothing. Now it was just the plain of Jordan. Now it was just whatever that looked like. If it was grass or dirt or whatever it was, they walked out with empty baskets and they walked back into their tent with empty baskets because there was no manna on the ground. No manna. I hate change. I do. If you're hearing any of my Sunday school lessons, I've talked about the other day, but I don't like change. Lachey she moved the granola bars that I eat every morning for breakfast. Every morning, I eat a granola bar on the way to work. Every morning. And I had to talk about food sometime, Brother Ashley, but every morning, I eat granola bar. Always, they were in the middle cabinet in the kitchen, and she moved them over to the cabinet next to the stove. And for months, I walked to the middle cabinet and opened it. Every morning, it ruined my morning because I don't like change. I don't like change. It messed with me. I'd walk out the door and get my truck not feeling right because I went to the wrong. Something wasn't right. Something was wrong. There was something different. I didn't like it. It bothered me. And I wonder how many times did these people wake up early and just without even thinking and grab their baskets and walk outside before they even realize there's no more manna. What am I doing? I've walked out and the miracle of the manna is over. It's not here anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Lord. The familiar is gone. The comforting is gone. The reliable manna that I could count on like the sun was going to rise in the morning. It's not here anymore. It's gone. All my dietary needs were met by this manna. It's not here anymore. It's gone. There's no more manna. Woo, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. It must have been a shock. It might have even caused him to question, are we in the will of God? What are we doing? If we're really following God, why would he pull the manna away from us? If we're really on the right track, why would this happen in my life? if I was really following the Lord like I should have been following him, why would he do this to me? What has caused this change in my life? Why has God ended this provision? Oh, God, help me preach. Help me preach. Amen. Why has this changed? Where did the manna go? What did I do to stop the manna? Amen. We're going to get into that in a minute, but first I want to look, take a deeper look at this manna. What was it and what was its purpose? Number one, you have to understand the manna was never meant to last forever. It was not for the children of Israel to eat for the rest of their lives. Amen. It was strictly for the children of Israel to cross the wilderness. That was the purpose of the manna. And it's one of the great testaments to God's provision that the manna lasted as long as it did, because they were disobedient to God. They should have went into Canaan land long before they did. But instead they wandered in the wilderness. They wandered around in circles for years. And God still provided manna for them. Even in their disobedience, God was still providing for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the problem with manna. I got two problems with manna. Number one, manna is survival food. Manna is survival food. It's food to get you by until the next time. It's just enough to get you through the day. Manna is just enough. It's survival food. It's just enough to get by on. It's barely enough to meet what I need. It's just enough to get by on. Oh God, I was praying about this message. This is where I wanted to preach at. Hey man, I begin to pray about this. I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart. Some people are coming to church just to survive. Some people are barely making it into church to just get by to the next service. And I understand that. Sometimes that's the purpose of church, is to get us through. Sometimes we do come into church and just fall on the altar and we need that touch from God. Amen. But it's not the will of God for us to live on manna forever. It's not the will of God for us to barely get by forever. It's not the will of God for you to struggle all your life to make it, but it's the will of God for you to have victory. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, press down, shaking together, and running over. That's the purpose of the church. That's the spirit-filled life, is pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Amen. We drag into church on Wednesday night, barely alive, wanting just a little bit of manna from heaven. We can barely make it from Wednesday to Sunday without coming apart, without falling apart. Need some manna. It's a manna mentality that says I've struggled. I'm always going to struggle. I can't get no better. I'm just going to barely make it the rest of my life. That's a lie of the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me right here. Oh, God, help me. Some people have been barely making it for so long that they feel like that's the only way they're ever going to make it. Some people have struggled so long and they fought so long and they fell and they got up and they fell and they got up that they feel like that's just the way it's always going to be. I preached a message one time on the cycle of sin. I preached a message on people that would get up and do good and fall back out and get up and do good. Some people are trapped in a cycle. They're trapped in this place where they don't think they'll ever be better than what they are. Help me, Holy Ghost. Some people have been barely making it for so long. They look ahead and they think that's just how it's got to be, Brother Jeff. That's just how it's got to be. That's my lot in life. Is to barely make it. That's my lot in life. When you see other people running and shouting, getting in, you want a little bit of that every once in a while. But it ain't God's will for me to shout every service. It ain't God's will for me to speak in tongues every day. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. It is God's will for you to be victorious. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the will of God, is that you be an overcomer. I said it's the will of God that you be an overcomer. This barely making it stuff is a lie of the devil. It's a trap of hell. It's God's will for you to be victorious and an overcomer. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I've been praying. I've been praying. I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me that this church can be full of overcomers. I said this church can be full of people that are overcomers. We don't have to struggle through and barely make it. We can be overcomers. Why? Because God said we can. And if He said it, that's good enough. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. I had another problem with the manna. Another problem with the manna was that it was only enough for you and your family. It's just enough. John, that was all it was. They went out every day and they gathered just enough. If somebody showed up to dinner, somebody went hungry. Because there wasn't enough for everybody, Brother Kevin. There was just enough for me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I want to help us tonight. It's the wrong mentality is what it is. It's coming to church in the wrong mindset. It's living our lives in the wrong mindset, Brother Kevin. We get this attitude. It's me and it's mine. And I got to look out for mine. And I got all I need. I need to go to church and get my family in. And if that's good enough. But what good is faith that's just for us? What good is faith if we don't have enough to share it with somebody? What good is coming to church if we're just spiritual enough to come to church and pat ourselves on the back? Then what are we really doing? We're missing out on the blessing of God. Amen. Amen. Are we spiritual enough that people can come to church and be blessed? Are we spiritual enough? Do we have the right mindset? That it's not just enough for us to get by, but when somebody comes to church, that the Holy Ghost can come down like He did Sunday night. Like He did Sunday night when the convicting power of the Holy Ghost got in this place for somebody that needed help. Are we spiritual enough that we can be a blessing to others? Are we spiritual enough that the person on the job beside us wants a little bit of what we got? Are we spiritual enough to have more than manna? Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? That means that if I get enough of Jesus, if I get enough of God in my life, that out of my belly is going to flow a river of living water. People around me can get help because I got where I was supposed to be with God. People on the job can get help because I got where I was supposed to be with God. I got something that was good enough to share. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me. So what caused the manna to stop? What caused the manna to stop? Number one, they got in the will of God. They stopped circling the same old thing. They stopped coming back to the same old problem. They stopped circling that mountain. Joshua looked at them and he said, we've come past this mountain long enough. Surely 40 years is a long enough time in the wilderness. Let's turn northward. Let's go where God intended us to go the whole time. They stopped circling the same old issue. They stopped wandering in the same old place. Oh, hallelujah. I wish I could preach. I'd tell somebody, you can get past what you've been circling. You can get beyond what's been holding you back. You can get past what you keep on coming back to. Every time you think you got away from it and it pulls you back in, there's a liberty of God that can set you free from that same old problem. There's a liberty of God that can break the chains of bondage that the devil placed on your life. There's liberty in the will of God. Woo, hallelujah. They ate the old corn of Canaan for 40 years. They'd never planted one crop. For 40 years, they'd never seen a harvest. For 40 years, they'd eat the same old thing. They'd had God's good, but God wanted them to have his best. Glory be to God. They finally moved beyond the manna. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. They finally moved beyond the manna. And I come to preach to some people that have struggled, that God has something better than where you've been. God has something better than what you've been circling. God has something better than the manna in your life. Holy Ghost. There is a deeper experience with God. There is better than barely making it. There is a Canaan land for you tonight. God has a land of milk and honey. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, when they came out of Canaan, they started telling the stories of how wonderful it was. Those spies, even the ones that said, "Let's don't go possess the land," even they had to come back saying, "It's wonderful. It's flowing with milk and honey. You wouldn't believe how great it is. You wouldn't believe how wonderful it is." Even they had to admit it was good in Canaan land. Hey, man, even the ones that doubted had to face it. It's good in Canaan land. I come to tell you tonight, these people, these children of Israel, they crossed over and they got what God had for them. It was good in Canaan land. It'd been waiting for them the whole time. They'd been out there eating manna, but there was milk and honey waiting for them in Canaan land. I come to tell you tonight, there's milk and honey for you in Canaan land. Woo! The devil's pulled the wool over your eyes. He convinced you you can't do anything for God. He convinced you you're always going to be where you're at. But God didn't call you to wander in the wilderness. God called you to possess the land. I said God didn't call you to wander around in the wilderness. He called you to take the land. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. I'm almost through. If you want to come get us a song, hallelujah, hallelujah. He called us to victory over the enemy. He called us to possess the land. Jericho, what a miracle it was. And Jericho is waiting ahead, Brother Kevin. Amen. Jericho's in their future. A mighty victory. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said that when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, that the people that were looking on melted with fear. They were terrified of what was coming their way because the children of Israel had finally stood up and got in the will of God. I'm telling you tonight, that obstacle that the devil keeps throwing in your face can melt right out of your way when you get in the will of God. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're never going to make it if you don't get past the manna. You're never going to make it if you don't get past the manna. You're never going to make it if you keep on playing around in the shallow end. You're never going to make it if you keep on getting up and falling back down. You're never going to make it if you don't ever get further with God. You're never going to make it if you don't get past the manna. The gifts of God are real. They're real. The gifts of God are for this church. The gifts of God, it's not the will of God for this church to go without somebody that has the gift of tongues and interpretation. It's not the will of God for this church to go without somebody that has the gifts of God, more than one person that has a gift of God active in their life. Amen. Amen. You know what? I feel like the Holy Ghost dealt with me. And I'm not trying to be mean, But I feel like the Holy Ghost telling me that it's time for some of us, and I include me right in the middle of that, but it's time for some of us just to grow up and put aside all these familiar things. You know what, Brother Clay? I find myself, and I'm just going to bare my heart with you. Is that all right? I find myself sometimes saying, you know what? I wish Clay would sing it down tonight. And I'm not putting you down, Brother Clay, or anything. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But there's times I find myself, I wish somebody else would do it. When I really, Brother Ashley, I ought to have a desire in my heart. And I do want to see you do good, Brother Clay. But amen, I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. I don't just want to see other people do good. I want to do good. I want to be part of it. I can't sit back my whole life and say, I just want what comes easy to me. I can't sit back my whole life and say, Lord, if you lay it out on the ground in front of me, then I'll eat. That ain't the will of God. It's God's will. I may have to fight. I may have to struggle. I may have to work. I may have to put in some time. I may have to plant a harvest and wait a little while to reap the benefits. Fit. But that's what I want to do because that's the will of God. My God, help me. I felt the witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we start to follow after God like we ought to, it might scare us a little bit. It's not easy to think that the manna wasn't going to be there anymore. It wasn't easy for them to face a prospect of walking out and having to get their own food. But it was the will of God. It was the will of God for their life. It was the will of God for them to possess that land. That was the provision of God. It wasn't the manna. It was Canaan land. I come to tell you tonight, it's not the will of God for us to just come to church and be at church. It's God's will for us to come to church and have church. Amen. It's not the will of God for us to come on a Wednesday night and leave the same way we came. But it's the will of God for us to have our earth shaken, hell shaken, move of God. Woo. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I want to work a little harder. That's why I want to push a little harder. It may be difficult, and I may not like some of the things that I got to do. I may have to spend another hour in prayer. I may have to read more of the Bible than I've ever read in my life. But it's the will of God to possess the land. It's the will of God to possess the land. And I want my land. I want my land. Woo! Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The devil has possessed what is ours for too long. You hear me? He's possessed it long enough. That's my piece of property, and I'm going to claim what's mine. Amen? I said it's mine. It's mine. You can't have what's mine, devil. Hey. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 I'm tired of seeing the devil prosper on my land. Amen. I'm tired of seeing the devil have his way in my family's life, Brother Kevin. I'm sick of it, and I'm going to take what's mine. If I got to lose the manna, I'll lose the manna. I got to have what's mine. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My goodness. My goodness. I'll tell you what I feel like. The Lord is looking for some fighters. He's looking for some people that are ready to take what is theirs. Amen. Amen. I tell you what. Woo, hallelujah. I tell you what. I want what's mine. I want the gift of the Lord that I'm supposed to have. Ah, hallelujah. I don't want to wait around on somebody else to do what the Lord wants me to do. If the Lord wants me to do it, I want to step out and do it. If I feel like I might look silly, I'm going to walk out anyway because it's the will of God. And I know this. I know this. That God is on my side. Oh, hallelujah. And why should I worry? Why should I fret? Jehovah Jireh is walking along beside me, and he's provided for my need. Stand all over the house. Yeah. Holy Ghost. Can we lift our hands and praise the Lord? Can we worship the Lord for just a minute? Hallelujah. What is God calling you to do? Is that all right? What is God dealing with you about? That's, amen. It's not the will of God for us to stay in the same place doing the same thing night after night, day after day. It's God's will for us to turn northward and claim what is ours. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be willing to say, Lord, if you deal with me, then I got to lay it aside. If I got to lay some stuff to the side. If I got to push back the plate. If I got to pray. If I got to do whatever you want me to do, Lord, I want it more than anything else. I got to have it. I got to have it. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. We're looking for hungry people. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a minute? Father, amen. Oh, God, I've done my best tonight, Lord, to try to encourage somebody, Lord, that's battling and struggling, Lord, that it's not your will for them to keep on falling down and struggling to get back up. But it's your will, God, for them to get up and be victorious. Oh, God, give us some people tonight in this altar that want to move forward for you, Lord. That want to be workers in the kingdom of God. That want to be members in the body of God, Lord. In the body of Christ, Lord. Would you bring us tonight, God? Give us our places, Lord. Move in our hearts and inspire us to go further for you. Lord, I ask all this in your heavenly name, God. Amen and amen. These altars are open tonight if you want to come pray.